Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Getting us into the mindset to worship in the Word. Let's open God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's begin with the word of prayer. And, of course, the purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's so difficult to get into our mind living in the material world that we are to remain in the spiritual realm, that we're to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, that we are to have spiritual impact. It's so easy to switch over to the flesh. And we pray, Father, that this morning your Spirit will open our mind to the importance of this. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we've moved to verse 3 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual, but as to men of the flesh." So here we contrast spiritual with men of the flesh, as to babes in Christ. Now we're going to see this morning why he added that phrase. "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able." And so now we come to verse 3, "For you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men?" Okay, now, "for you are still fleshly." Now, the King James has the word carnal. You are carnal. And the NIV, worldly. Worldly. Now, the NASV as fleshly, "for you are still fleshly." So we have three different words translated. "Oh, Mill, how are you doing? Hi, darling, how are you? Good to see y'all this morning." We have carnal. We're in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Carnal, worldly, and fleshly. What's going on here? What is Paul saying? "But you are still fleshly." First of all, please note the "you are," denoting their status at this time. And, of course, the question comes, what would you like to follow that if somebody said something of you? You are, and what would you want said? Well, here he says, "you are still fleshly." They are no different now than when they first believed in Jesus Christ. And people, that is sad. That is very sad. In fact, sometimes parents, when their children are grown up, "when will you grow up?" Now, it's a shame when it's a woman saying that to her husband, especially if he's 70 years old. "When will you grow up?" But that's the idea here that we're dealing with. And so they've made no progress, no difference, and since they have believed in Jesus Christ. "But you are still fleshly." Okay, let's take up some points so that we can work through this. You're going to have to get into a little of the Hebrew, the Greek, but people, it's important. This is not show off. This is so that you can grasp what's going on in the text. So we have three different translations: carnal, worldly, fleshly. So let's see what's going on in the context. Point one, we have four descriptions in our context. Chapter 2, verse 14, we have the natural man. The natural man. In 3:1, we have the spiritual man. The spiritual man. And 3:1, we have men of flesh. Men of flesh. And 3:3, we have fleshly. So you can see that Paul is making some distinctions in people here. So we have the natural man, the spiritual man, the man of the flesh, and fleshly. So we're going to have to work our way through these and find out what's going on. Now, point two. It may sound like verse 1 and verse 3, he's saying the same thing. When he says in verse 1, men of flesh, verse 3, still fleshly. But let me tell you something. The problem is these are two entirely different Greek words and their importance in their differences. Now, let me help you here and not to bore you, but this is very important that we grasp this. We have, and I'm going to... I'll transliterate from the Greek to the English just so we can get through this. We have S-A-R-X. And, well, we don't have the X here because we're using it in a compound word. So we have sart, and this is the word for flesh. Now, the first thing we have in verse 1 is sarkinos. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkinos. That's in verse 1. In verse 3, translated fleshly, we have sarkikos. S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. Sarkikos. Now, point 3. Do not lose or pay close attention. I want you to pay close attention to the different endings. Inos and ikos. Those differences make all the difference in the world. Both words have sarks, and that's the word for flesh. See? Now, I love the Greek. They can make words and do a lot of different things. I've always been intrigued by the Greek in this respect when I first took it in seminary. It's just amazing what they can do. Now, the ending inos, right here, the ending inos denotes that which anything is made. That of which anything is made. Here we would say made of flesh. With the inos ending, made of flesh. Having flesh for its substance. Now, this condition, this is verse 1, cannot be helped. It is not condemned, it's not condoned, but it's not condemned. A baby cannot help being a baby. That's just the facts of life there. But while sarkinos, flesh, is not condemned, sarkikos is condemned. Fleshly, that is condemned and should be avoided by believers. Sarkinos, that's our first word, sarkinos, verse 1, means that which is made of flesh. Therefore, properly translated, fleshy. Fleshy. Made of flesh. We are men of flesh. We are people of flesh by our first birth. Born fleshy. Made of flesh. Any problem with the suffix inos? Made of flesh. Okay? That brings us to point 4. In verse 3, Paul says you are still fleshly. And he uses the word twice. And that is sarkikos. That's I-K-O-S. Ikos. Same root, sarks, flesh. Now, this doesn't mean made of, see? This suffix means to take on a characteristic. When you have ikos, it means to have the characteristic of whatever the root is. To have that characteristic. This means to be made of that substance. This means to take on the characteristic. Ikos, to take on the characteristic of something. And therefore is translated fleshly. See? Means you take on the characteristic. You're acting like sarks. You're acting like flesh. Therefore, it's translated simply fleshly. All right, that brings us to point five. Verse 1, as men of flesh, or we could say fleshy. Verse 3, but you are still fleshly. You're still acting like flesh. So for simplicity, we have fleshy, made of flesh, fleshly, acting like flesh. Those are two different concepts, and you got to have to start thinking that way. So we have two different concepts, fleshy, made of flesh, fleshly, acting like flesh. Now, we cannot help being fleshy. We're born this way. But people, we can help and prevent being fleshly, acting like flesh. So you should now be able to grasp the importance of that word still in verse 3. Look what it says in verse 3. For you are still fleshly. I hope you can grasp the drama and the importance of that word still. You are flesh, fleshy, by your physical birth, but you're still acting that way. You should be moving on. As a born-again believer, you should move on to the spiritual man, spiritual maturity. This becomes so important. So verse 1, but to men of flesh, fleshy. Verse 3, you are still fleshly. You're still acting like flesh. Point 6, this distinction is very important in your life and in the world. This is much more penetrating than saying a Christian or a non-Christian. It's much more vivid than saying a spirit-filled Christian, one who is not filled, and a believer who is not filled with the Spirit. That doesn't really strike us. But to say you are fleshly, that should penetrate. You've just been called a bad word. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's theological, and that's very nice. But when somebody, you are fleshly, that's not nice. That is very insulting, especially if you've been a Christian for a while. That you're still acting fleshly. You're still acting like who and what you are in the flesh. You're not acting like who you are in the Holy Spirit. And this is what divides the human race and people. Fleshy or fleshly cannot understand the Word of God. Cannot serve God, cannot please God. You cannot please God when you are fleshly. You cannot serve God when you are fleshly. You can't please Him. The flesh cannot please God. It's that simple. It's that dramatic. It's that important. You cannot please God. There are many fleshly Christians who are deceived into thinking they're serving God. They do a lot of things in the church. They give, they pray, they preach, they teach, they do this, they do that, they serve in a lot of different ways, all in the flesh. All in the flesh. They're not pleasing God whatsoever. It comes from their flesh nature. Most people in America and in the world today are either fleshy or fleshly. Very few are really spiritual. And finally, point seven. For point seven, just to zero in on these words, I'm going to take you to just a few passages. Point seven, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 3. For though we walk, that's our life on earth, in the flesh. See that word flesh? That's our word sarx. That is the prefix to all of our two words here. Sarx, flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Sarx. For though we walk in the flesh, live, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, this is not part of our study, but let me just remind you people, you are in a conflict. You're in a battle, and I'm not talking about your marriage. I'm talking about your relationship in the world. That's where we're in a battle. The battle is not, and the battle is a spiritual conflict that we're all in, so I like this. Do not war according to the flesh. So many Christians try to handle SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, by weapons of the flesh. There's a wonderful, it's been around for quite a while, I've quoted from every now and then, psychoheresy. PSYCHOHERSEYESY -aware.org. You want to find something that is really intriguing and very important. It's psychoheresy-aware.org. Excellent, excellent organization. I've talked to the man once on the phone, and just would like to send him just some of our stuff, show him that he and I are like-minded on so many of these things that are going on. Now let's move to verse 4 in 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare in life, stress, anxiety, depression, battles in life, are not of the flesh. Now, only here we do not have the same word. See, we have just had the word sarx twice in verse 3. We do not walk in the, we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Now, verse 4, but the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We have an entirely different word. This time we have the word sarkikos. Sarkikos. I-K-O-S. Now, what is that? Of resembling the flesh. Fleshly. So, let's see what we can do with this. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Are not fleshly. Not fleshly. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, not resembling the flesh. Then he says, but divinely. That's spiritual. But divinely powerful. For the destruction of fortresses, strongholds in our life and our souls that would keep us down. Jealousy. Envy, strife. These are strongholds Paul's going to start talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. These are strongholds. So, I just want you to see here we have the difference. We have sarx, flesh, but we do, while we are in the flesh, we do not use the flesh. We do not use those things that are resembling of the flesh. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And contrary to popular opinion, I did not pick this on any kind of purpose. It just deals with our words. All right, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 9. If we believers sowed spiritual things. Now, let me just tell you what the word is. Spiritual things. Things resembling the flesh. It is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. See here? Well, let's write it on here. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-K-O-S. Flesh, spiritual. So that's what we have here. The character of the Spirit. Spiritual. If we sow spiritual things in you, this is the pastor sowing spiritual things in you. This is by teaching the Word of God. Is it too much if we should reap material things from you? And you know what that word is? That is sarkikos. Sarkikos. Of the material world. See? So, the man who teaches the Word of God, he teaches pneumatikos, that's spiritual. Spiritual things. The characteristic of the spiritual. But he should be advanced and honored with sarkinos, and that is of the flesh, things of the flesh. All right, any question on the two different words? What we have going on? All right, we're ready for point 8. Now, under point 8, we're going to just take up.
Things of the flesh, that last comment you made, if they're gifts, then they're of the
No, it's talking about, what it's talking about is paying him with an animal, with fruit, with money, with something. Things of the material world. That's the whole point of the passage. If we sowed spiritual things, what is that? Teaching of the Word of God. Invisible warfare. In you. Is it too much if we should reap material things from you? We our work is the spiritual, therefore they're paid back in the material realm.
The King James
says, "Reap your carnal things." Okay, one thing about the King James that's unfortunate, and I'll show you that in our 1 Corinthians 3, they translate it all the time carnal, and that's unfortunate.
So just mark that word.
I would not use that word there. I would not use it. I would use the word, as we have it, material or flesh. Fleshy.
Why not carnal?
Carnal conveys the ideal of sin. Carnal revealing. See, in 1 Corinthians, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, 3 again. Show you what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to carnal." The King James has carnal there, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And now, that's unfortunate. Because you come down to verse 3, but you're still carnal. And it doesn't give you the impact of what's going on with the two different words. See? So, carnal really doesn't fit in verse 1, but it does in verse 3. As far as the impact and the understanding. That's one of the problems of consistently translating a word in a certain way. Okay, let's go now to point 8. And what we're going to do under point 8 is we're going to give you a 3-point chart. And we're going to have Sar Kinas. Oh, let's see, what are they? Sar Kinas. And over here, Sar K. Let's see, Sar Kikas. Fleshly way. No, in verse 1, you're not carnal. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3, let's go back and look at it. Verse 1, you are men of the flesh. That's not being carnal as we understand the word carnal. That is being of the flesh. But now in verse 3, it's condemnation. But you're still carnal. You're still of the flesh. See? You shouldn't be that way. You should have moved on. Okay, now what we're going to do here under point 8 is we're going to take up kanas and kakas and know just some of the things so that you get it in your mind. Yes? K-I-K-O-S. I-N-O-S. I-K-O-S. He's rebuking. All right, that's what I said. To say that someone in verse 1 is sarkinos, that's not a condemnation. It's not a commendation, but he's not condemning them. We're all born that way. That'd be like saying to a baby, "Why, you're just flesh," like it's some kind of condemnation. No, that's what they are. But when you're 20 years old, you should not be acting like a baby. You should not be acting. You should be acting like a 20-year-old. And that's what he's saying. Verse 3 is condemnation, if you want to use that word. Verse 1 is not. Verse 1 just is recognizing the fact we all... And that's why he adds, as babes in Christ there. You're born of the flesh, but you're babes in Christ. You're born again believers. But you're flesh. But in verse 3, it's condemnation. You should be mature now. Teaching. Trying to get them to see. Get them to understand. That's why he calls them babes in Christ. He's taking them through. Showing them all these things. And from babes in Christ, he goes through, I'm giving you milk, but I should be giving you solid food. You should be more spiritual. than you are. You're still living. Now, this, now he moves into a condemnation. But he's doing it by teaching to exhort them. And then we'll go into verse 4 in a moment of what where all of this is going to lead. Okay? Okay, so we have sarkinos, and that is fleshy. And sarkikos, that's fleshly. Okay, point one. Sarkinos, made of flesh. Made of flesh, sarks. Sarkikos, two. Point one under sarkikos is characteristics of the flesh, resembling the flesh. So this is made of, this means to resemble. To resemble. This is found in verse 1. This is verse 3. 2. Sarkinos, natural. You cannot help this. It's natural. You cannot help it. No one's going to condemn a little baby for being a baby. Can't help it. It's what babies do. See? I always like people, you know, they get mad at babies, get mad at dogs. That's what a dog does. It doesn't bite. Dogs bite. Don't tell me it doesn't bite. Dogs bite. Now, maybe your dog's not prone to biting right here and there, but they do bite. Watch. I put my hand into their mouth. They're going to bite it. See? Well, you can't condemn them. So you cannot condemn what is natural. Now, point two, under the sarkikos, unnatural. Unnatural. This is like seeing a 20-year-old wearing a diaper. A 20-year-old drinking out of a little bottle. It's unnatural. And can be prevented. Should be prevented. Should be prevented. Yes. Unless what? It can be prevented by growing in the Word. It can be prevented by getting under a pastor, teaching the truth, and start growing in the Word and walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're not doing either of those. They're not living in the Spirit. They're not growing into the teaching. They are still babies. They are still fleshly. They should be growing spiritually. I'm sorry? Well, as you learn, this is what I'm saying. As you grow, this should be prevented. This is unnatural to be a believer. To be a believer, let's just pick a time frame. To be a believer for 5 years and you're still acting like you're fleshy, that's not good. That can be prevented. It can be prevented. How can it be prevented? We'll come into it, but I'll answer you now. It can be prevented by growing under the teaching of the Word of God and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And by the way, that gets back to what we did last week or the week before, was two of the great problems in America. One, there are very few pastors who are teaching solid food. And two, there are very few Christians or religious people who even want solid food. They don't want it. They want to be entertained. They want to be told how wonderful everything is. They don't want to learn solid food. So this is what we're dealing with. So this is natural for the baby, but when a baby should be starting to grow, it's not natural. Okay, so now let's go to the third one. The third difference describes a baby believer. A baby believer. Unable to grasp advanced teaching, advanced doctrine. Unable to take in solid food. Point three, this describes a believer right out negative to doctrine. negative to walking in the Holy Spirit. This describes a baby who cannot, simply cannot. Doesn't have the teeth, doesn't have the stomach, doesn't have anything for it. But over here, it describes someone who should be grown by now, but they're just negative. They do not want solid teaching. They do not want to walk in the Holy Spirit. So this is condemned. This is not condemned. So the principle, by now, you should be acting spiritual, but you've not grown. You've not advanced in the Word. You're still fleshly. You got to get out of that. Grow up. A parent will say to the son or daughter, grow up. Start acting your age. Quit acting like that. That was okay when you were 4 or 5, but not now. You don't do that now. It was cute when you were 4 or 5, but it's not cute anymore. Because it's not natural for where you are in life. To act fleshly is to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Sinful desires, therefore carnal. Desires opposite and opposing to the Holy Spirit. Desires opposite and opposed to spiritual. While we are fleshy, sarkinos, we do not need to act like sarkikos. We don't need to act that way. The flesh rules the soul. Now for this, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, at a very important verse. Galatians 5. Do what? Well, it describes a believer who should be mature, but is not. They're fleshly instead of spiritual. That's why I want to go over and over this in different ways so that you be sure you get it. This. Okay, I've got it coming up, but I'll just answer you now. Take the difference of this book, 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. Philippians, filled with doctrine. Filled with solid food. Filled with good stuff. 1 Thessalonians, good stuff. Corinthians, he can't do that. They're babies. They should be. He should be able to write them solid food, but he can't. He's got to write to them milk. He's got to take them by the hand. Lead them through all of this. Oh, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians is solid. Colossians is solid stuff. The mysteries of Christ. I'd say Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, those are solid food. Whereas 1st and 2nd Corinthians, milk. Throws a little bit of hamburger meat in there, but mostly milk. Mostly milk. No T-bone steaks. Well, I don't know how. I'm kind of learning. Maybe we take a little bit too long, but it's solid food. Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. Those are solid food. You got those are the things where you start growing up. Those are where you start gritting your teeth into it, and those are the things that you become mature and ready to learn the deep things that God has for you. Okay, because this is the condition of the Corinthian believers, and it's in the Bible, because this is the condition of most Christians. Most Christians are sarkikos, and they're living sarkikos, they're living fleshly. They're living like they're in the flesh. Okay. The progression is where? Let's see. Well, I hadn't thought of it that way. I'd have probably a little problem with 1 Timothy being where it is in it. They're put in the out of the Bible, in our English Bible. Is that what you're talking about? All right, in the order of the English Bible, it's by the epistles, and then the epistles to the church, and then the epistles to people, Paul's writings, and then Peter and James. James and then Peter, and Hebrews. There's no real order given to that kind of thought.
Okay. So is it more calendar
date than actual progression? No, it's actual progression. We're all born sarkinos, babes, in Christ, but we ought to grow into spiritual. But most Christians, where they are, they start off here and they remain fleshly. Even though they may be in church and doing things like that, they're fleshly. They haven't grown. They haven't grown in the Word. They haven't grown at all. Well, I would say to run the gamut for us as becoming a spiritually mature person, it's the whole Bible. A lot of the Old Testament, New Testament, all that. You start growing in prophecy and history and what God's doing with Israel, and you just start building and building and building. That's the mature believer. Absolutely. And when the rapture occurs, there'll be sarkinos believers, there'll be sarkikos believers, and there'll be spiritual believers. Those that are walking in the Spirit, mature. So this is a great problem in life. In fact, in our next session, we're going to study something very important, and that is working on Daniel. You take about what really is the important thing that we think about. We think about the tribulation. Well, we've got the mark of the beast, 666. We've got the Antichrist. We've got the seven-headed dragon and the seven nations. But people, that doesn't bother us at all. We won't even be here. But I'll tell you what is going to be here when we're here. Before these things happen, apostasy, deception, false teaching, it all will dominate the church. And we're going to look at that in our next session today. And that's where we are. We're talking about people who are sarkikos, new believers, but they've not grown at all, and they're sarkikos now, and they're just still fleshly. And they're believing false teaching, false doctrine, doctrine of demons, it's called. They're not taking in solid food. And this is where we need to see where we are in American history and the world as far as the history of what God is doing. It's not about identifying the Antichrist. It'll be identified when we're gone. It's not about identifying the seven-headed dragon. That'll be done after we're gone. It's not about the mark of the beast. All of that's afterward. Christians get all excited about that stuff. We ought to be excited and pay attention to, is what I'm learning false or is it true? Is it true doctrinal teaching or is it false? Is it the doctrine of demons? Is it not what the Bible teaches? That's what ought to concern us today. Not the mark of the beast, not 666, not who is the Antichrist. We ought to be concerned, am I learning sound doctrine? And most churches are not, and we'll take a look at that in our next session. So, but this has to do with that same principle. So, these are the three things that relate to that. And Galatians 5, that's where we were. Let's look at Galatians 5. Now, see, you thought I'd get lost. Galatians chapter 5. In seminary, we knew the professors, we could get off course. And it was more fun. You just learn them. Because every professor, but they had their little pet peeves. And if you can get them off on that, put your pen down, forget it. Just study something else or whatever. Say, I'm not that way today. So, no, it's just fun. Just fun. Let's quickly look at Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So people, we still possess the sarx, the flesh nature. For the flesh sets its desire against the spiritual, that's when we're spiritual, and the spirit against the flesh, sarx. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you walk by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, what we're dealing with here is the great battle between the flesh nature, the sarx, and the spiritual nature. When we start out as Christians, we are babes in Christ, and we start off sarkikos, N-O-S. We should grow spiritually, but if we do not, we remain fleshly. So, here's one of the greatest essential reasons that God gave the Holy Spirit people to us. This is one of the essential reasons. God looked down and said, okay, they're flesh, they believe in Jesus Christ, they become a new spiritual creature, but the flesh nature is going to dominate. I've got to give them a power greater than the flesh nature, therefore the Holy Spirit. Now, the principle, just because we are fleshy, does not give us an excuse to act fleshly. Now let me repeat that. Just because we are fleshy, made of flesh, does not give us an excuse to act that way. No excuse whatsoever. We have the Holy Spirit. We should be acting spiritual, not fleshly. Okay, look at chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to fleshy, as babes in Christ. Paul is not condemning here them, nor chastising them here in verse 1. He simply recognizes that we all start out fleshy. We all do. So he's trying to take them along on this thought process. This is shown by Paul adding the phrase, as to babes in Christ. We're not babes as you grow. You should not be a baby in Christ after a year or two. You should start growing, developing teeth. Parents are very sensitive. In fact, today, after 6 months, it ought to be doing this, and ought to weigh this, and ought to stand tall, and at this age, it ought to be having some teeth, and at this age, it ought to be saying dada, mama, no. No's the first word we learn. Come on, that's an easy word. N-O, no. But we understand all of this. What we're looking for, we're looking for growth. It's very sad, very unfortunate when a mother and dad realizes our baby can't hear, our baby can't speak, our baby is not growing. Maybe growing physically, but it's not growing, it's not communicating. It's a very sad thing, people. Well, spiritually, it's worse. The only problem is we don't see it. We can see that we're growing. We learn to tie our own shoes. We learn to develop these things. So we're not cognizant of how fleshly we are spiritually. So Paul is not condemning them nor chastising them in verse 1. He recognizes that we all start out fleshy. This is shown in adding babes in Christ. Now let me read to you from Archbishop Trench, T-R-E-N-C-H, tremendous scholar. And let me just read this to you. I know it's difficult to read and concentrate, but let's try. Quote, a baby has no malice. He acts like a baby because he is one. He cannot help being one. There is no moral responsibility to being a baby. Every newly born again Christian is a baby and acts like a sarkinos. Fleshy. This immaturity is because he has not had time to grow. But sarkikos, fleshly, indicates a Christian's responsibility. You have chosen to remain fleshly, not because that's what you are. You are acting fleshly and not spiritual because you have chosen to, not because you are that. So if a believer believes in Jesus Christ, he's a babe in Christ, no condemnation. But let's just pick a year or two down the line, he's not grown at all. Why? He's chosen. I don't want to go to Bible class. I don't want to study the Word of God. I don't want to make it a priority in my life. I don't want to walk in the power of the Spirit. I want to please myself. I want to do what's pleasing to me. You choose to be fleshly. That's a choice made. I choose not to grow in the Word of God. I choose to go to a church where they tickle my ears, make me feel good, emote, make me feel good, all these type of things. That's what I want. I want to feel good. I don't want to go where I have to think. I don't want to go where I have to learn. I don't want to go and be told to walk in the power of the Spirit. That's just too much. I don't want to do it. You've made a conscious decision, as Trench is saying, to remain fleshly. Now, Paul is saying here they are still fleshly. They have made no progress spiritually, not growing in the Word, walking in the Holy Spirit. They are content at remaining fleshly. They do not want to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Now, it is not as if they are remaining babies. It's worse than that, people. It's worse than that. They're growing in time, but they still remain fleshly. It's not like a baby saying, I'm just going to remain a baby. I'm going to remain lying here, eating Gerber's squashed up food and all that, mushy food. I'm going to just remain here, being taken care of. I'm not going to grow. No, doesn't make that decision. The baby grows and grows and grows. The Christian, I'm just going to remain here. I'm going to remain a baby. I'm not going to grow. I don't want solid food. I don't even want milk. I don't want anything. I want to be left alone. Still saved. Still saved. But they remain fleshly. There's nothing you can do about being fleshy, but you can do a great deal about being fleshly. So verse 3. For you are still fleshly. Now here's a good place to translate this: carnal. Not verse 1, but here. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? You can tell when one is not in the Holy Spirit. Nobody has to tell you. No one has to tell you that you're not in the Holy Spirit. All you have to do, you're satisfying the flesh. See? You have worldly confrontations, bitterness, judging. Just like I was saying a while ago, and so we've already dealt with it, but you take the book of Corinthians, compare it with the book of Ephesians, compare it with the book of Philippians, Colossians, the mysteries of Christ, and these type of things. And you see the difference in these two congregations. They are totally different in their spiritual growth and ability to take. So while fleshy and fleshly, we take a word like spiritual. Unfortunately, we don't have the words that we can do that with. Spiritual can refer to one, a new spiritual creation, a person who is a born-again believer. Or it can refer to one who's filled with the Holy Spirit. It can refer to either one of those. So it can refer to a new spiritual believer. He still may be a baby. He still may be fleshly. But he's a spiritual creature. Then you have the believer filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. It also can be used of one who has been in the Holy Spirit and has reached maturity. The emphasis there is not on being filled with the Spirit at that moment. The emphasis is on the spiritual growth. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, verse 1. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, believers, even if a man is caught in any trespass. Now, you know this has different concepts. One, it can mean to actually be caught in sin. Or two, it can be caught in a trend of sin. Either one are applicable. Either one are appropriate definitions of what's going on here. You who are spiritual. All right, what does this refer to? Well, one, it's not talking about the fleshly person. It's talking about a person who knows how to be filled with the Spirit and has grown through a solid food, reached a point of maturity, and therefore is called spiritual here. Filled with the Holy Spirit, but grown in the Holy Spirit. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. This refers to two types of temptations. One, tempted in the sin that they're in, or two, tempted to be arrogant and judge them and malign them. This can be the deal. Okay, now, these believers are not unlike a multitude of believers today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, immature, fleshly. This is what they are. People, let me give you a little principle here. Don't blame Satan. Don't blame demons for the problems you're experiencing in your Christian life if you haven't grown. Oh, the devil's after me, demons and all this type of thing, and they got to be cast out. No, it's your own fault. You've not grown. You've not grown in the truth of the Word of God. It's that you are just a babe, acting like babes. And you're still fleshly. Satan does not have to be concerned with either of these groups. The multitude of problems that those who are fleshly have has nothing to do with demonic activity. It has to do with the fact they don't want to grow in the Word of God. Satan doesn't have to worry about them at all. Who's he going to be concerned with? Those who strive to walk in the Holy Spirit. These are the ones Satan goes after. These are the ones he wants to shoot down, like Peter. Paul says they are fleshly. See, this is what they are. Let's look at what Jesus Christ has to say about such believers. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. This is from the words of Jesus Christ himself about these kind of believers who have believed in Jesus Christ, should be taking in solid food, but they're still resembling flesh. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. Just read it and get a feel here. And to the messenger of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, that's Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is the type of believer we're talking about. They're not hot. They're not cold. Cold is an unbeliever. Hot is a spiritual believer. They're neither. They're just wasting space, taking up time. And he says, I just spit you out of my mouth. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Just want you to see how crucial this is, what we are studying in God's plan. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Jealousy and strife. And people, please be sure you don't miss this. Jealousy and strife are in the sphere of spiritual things related, as it were, to the church. This is not talking about jealousy in the realm of the world. This is what's going on in the local church. Self-righteous religious types, arrogant, so that they may not be into competing in the worldly realm, but boy, they are jealous and cause strife in the local assembly. In the most assemblies, it isn't going to matter whether you invest in A or B. It isn't going to be a matter whether you're for this team or that team. It ain't going to be. These are worldly things. This jealousy and strife are related to the assembly. It's the troublemakers in the assembly. So this is going on in the local church. Jealousy and strife. And jealousy often leads to strife. Let's look at James chapter 3 for the summary of this. James chapter 3. All right, James chapter 3, and what we want to do is we want to look at verses 14 through 18. James 3, 14 through 18. Let's pay attention. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so to lie against the truth. The truth is that you do have it. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, that's our word, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. That's the strife. Jealousy often leads to strife. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Okay. People, you don't have to follow people around in a local church to their homes, find out if they go to the beer joint, find out if they what kind of books they buy in a bookstore, whether they're doing this or that. No. James didn't walk out. He just stood there in the church. He watched this assembly. He said, you people are pitiful. You fight one another. You compete. You're jealous of each other. Who gets to sit where? Somebody comes in, poor, sits up on the front row, gets there early, wants to go over their Bible, wants to think, pray, and people start coming in. Well, now in walks Mr. Gottrocks, Mrs. Gottrocks. And boy, I mean, there's no place for them to sit. They'll have to sit on the floor. In the church, early church, they sat on the floor, met in homes. So what do? You go up to this person, got there early, in prayer, getting ready. Sir, you're going to have to sit over here on the floor. Mr. and Mrs. Gottrocks need these chairs up here. So they're brought in. All you have to do is watch the assembly. Watch how people treat one another. You're sitting in my seat! You know, all of this type of thing that goes on. All you have to do is watch the assembly. That's what's going on in James and in Paul. See, there's no spiritual love in the assembly. So remember that jealousy and strife are part. Well, the thing about jealousy and strife, I'm not going to cover the doctrine of jealousy, not going to cover the doctrine of strife. We've already taken a long time on what I think is really important here. But let me just tell you about jealousy and strife. They are the immune system to the flesh nature. They're the immune system. They want to protect who you are in the flesh. See? And if somebody else is getting praised, why, you're such a wonderful Christian. Look what you did. Look how much you give. Look how much you help these people. And you're standing there listening. Well, wait a minute. What about me? That's the immune system. It wants to protect the flesh self. So the immune system of the flesh self is jealousy and strife, bitterness, arrogance. All these type of things, they're just to protect you, who you are in the flesh. So nobody has to tell you, if you sense some jealousy coming in, if you sense resentment coming in, you just smile and say, boy, I'm in the flesh. That's my flesh self. Because spiritual love is not jealous. And if I want to tell people how good I am, what I do, how I do this and how I do that around the church or outside the church, because it's not seen. Y'all don't get to see how good I am outside. So let me tell you. Let me tell you how good I am. Love does not boast. Spiritual love is not jealous. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Nobody has to tell us we're not in the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is learn to listen to yourself. Listen to your thoughts, listen to your words, listen to your actions, and you'll know whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. Now, this will be seen in verse 4. But it involves so many things in the spiritual realm. Remember, the disciples, as they came into the upper room, here we are, Christ has told them he's getting ready to die. They're coming in for this, what will turn out to be the last Passover. But just forget that. It's a Passover. It's a Passover. It's about the Lamb. How did they come into the room? Anybody remember how they came into the room? Who's the greatest? Arguing. Who's the more spiritual? Who's best amongst them? There's no place for that. This is the Passover. What's wrong with you guys? See? But this is the flesh nature. The flesh nature has to compete and be jealous of one another. And it's in the spiritual realm. I want to emphasize that. This isn't talking about in the physical. Now, I'm sure that goes on. There's some jealousy. If somebody drives in a fine car and you have a clunker, and there might be jealousy. What's the cure to that? Not getting a fine car. The cure to that is getting in the filling of the Spirit, spiritual love. That's the solution. We think the solution is competing with the Joneses. No, the solution is being filled with the Spirit, spiritual love. That's the solution. But what I want you to see is most of what he's talking about, this jealousy and strife, are in the assembly. He just looks around. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? And we've already gone over a little bit, so I need to stop here. Boy, I was on a roll. Man, I was going on. So let's close in a word of prayer and get ready for our second study, which is going to be very important. Let's pray. Father, this is so hard and difficult to kind of grasp. In the physical realm, it's not. We know that when we're a baby, we act like a baby. When we're 20, we got to give up that. We grow older, just start going up. But in the spiritual realm, Father, the same principle is true. We have to grow spiritually. That's why you gave us the Holy Spirit, why you gave us the Bible, that we might grow and not remain babies. That we might partake of solid food consistently. So, Father, we pray now that you'll take the things we've seen this morning, have them become a reality in our soul and in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.